It's such a pleasure being back live, AJ.
As always, no doubt about it. Living the good life, heard coast to coast this morning. Lots to cover. Got so much, actually, this morning. Looking forward to the rest. But right now, we've got a good segment here with Cannabis Healing and Paxton Quigley bringing it to you yet again. Paxton, good morning.
Well, hello to you, Adam, and hello to Alan, too.
Surviving the...
all is, of our cannabis healing listeners all over the country and even the world. I've got good news. I think every week I kind of have good news about cannabis. This last Thursday, the British government announced that medical cannabis will be available by prescription this fall. That'll be in England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. However, he says this is no way a first step into the legalization of cannabis for recreational use. What he is concerned is with sick children. And he said recent cases involving sick children made it clear to me that our position on cannabis-related medicinal products was not satisfactory. And soon we're going to ask our guest what he thinks about the United Kingdom's decision. And we've got a terrific guest today. He is actually the original advocate for cannabis legalization in the United States. And his name is Keith Stroup, and that's spelled S-T-R-O-U-P. He started the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML, back in 1970. That's 48 years ago, and he's still going strong. Now, when it first started in 1970, NORML was funded by a grant of $5,000 by the Playboy Foundation. The owner is Hugh Hefner. And during those early years, Hugh Hefner was donating $100,000 a year to NORML to keep it going. Hefner was a really strong supporter of legalizing cannabis. And my friend, just coincidentally, some years ago, I was hired as an executive by Playboy Enterprises, and one of my titles was West Coast Director of the Playboy Foundation. And I'll never forget my first night on the job. I was told that I had to go up to the Playboy Mansion, this is in Los Angeles, because Hefner was giving a big fundraiser for NORML. There were lots of celebrities there and playmates. And I remember walking into the great room at the mansion, and I took a whiff, and I could smell marijuana all over the place. And I was so surprised. And I got to tell you, frankly, my years at Playboy were, as I always say, made in heaven, and I am not exaggerating. So now I'd like to introduce you all to Keith Stroup, who was probably at the Playboy Mansion that night. Hello, Keith.
Hello, Paxton. Yes, I'm sure I was. By the way, we had an annual NORML fundraiser at the L.A. Playboy Mansion for 4 or 5 years during the mid and late 1970s. It was a great time, and Hef was a really strong supporter.
Yes, we had loads of fun. But I don't think we actually met that night. If we did, it was in passing. But let's get to present time. I know that the organization and you have been lobbying Congress and our lawmakers for years and years. How are things now? Are your lobbying efforts getting any easier now that there seems to be a so-called shift in attitudes about cannabis?
Well, no doubt about it. What happens when you're trying to impact public policy, elected officials, if they're serious, they try to examine the issues and come up with a good solution. But they're always also concerned that they not get too far ahead of where their constituents are. They don't want to be defeated at the next election because they were too friendly to marijuana, for example. So for the last 40 years, we've been working essentially a state-based strategy. We've put our efforts into the states where we thought we had a good chance to win, and gradually and slowly built up our support in Congress. When we started NORML, Gallup poll had just done their first survey, and only 12% of the American public favored legalization. 88% of the people were against what we were trying to achieve. I'm happy to say that over the course of the last four decades, the American public have largely changed their hearts and minds on this issue. And we now show several national surveys, including Gallup, that have 65% and higher now support full legalization, and up to 90% support legalizing medical use. So we are now beginning to get some serious support in Congress for the first time. We have four bills currently pending, any of which would be wonderful if we could get them adopted. In all honesty, I don't think we'll be able to get them adopted until we get rid of Trump. But that's all right. We continue to build support every year.
Now, I want to ask you, there are a lot of people who I have met that talk about, you know, that they don't like marijuana because they see it as a gateway drug. Are you still getting people talking that way?
Well, not nearly as much as we used to, because earlier, when most Americans didn't have any personal familiarity with marijuana, I think it was fairly easy for them to buy into the argument that somehow if you smoke marijuana, you may end up as a heroin addict. Now, the reality is that even the federal government, that's not sympathetic to marijuana, but even they point out the first drug used by poly drug abusers is almost never marijuana. It's alcohol, usually second is tobacco, and then if marijuana is in that chain at all, it's no earlier than third. And there is absolutely nothing psychopharmacologically that would cause one to smoke marijuana and then want to try something harder. I've been smoking marijuana, I think, 53 years now, and I've never even seen heroin. So I would say that we don't have to put up with that argument nearly as much as we used to, and it's because people are more familiar with marijuana, and most people have friends who are marijuana smokers, and they realize they're not heroin addicts.
Now, do you still have a problem with talking about medical marijuana?
Well, not so now. Yeah, we're almost beyond that, and it's because there are so many wonderful stories that are in the media on a regular basis of individuals who find that their medical marijuana provides relief from serious illnesses like, you know, MS or AIDS or HIV positive, and far better than pharmaceutical drugs. Sometimes in addition to the pharmaceutical drugs. But for example, there are a lot of states right now finding that where they have legalized medical marijuana, their rates in opioid abuse are falling. People are using marijuana to get off of the opioids. So, medical marijuana, I think, is now something that is almost universally accepted.
You know, it's interesting. I just read an article that the person who discovered or invented one of the opioids, he's now in the marijuana business. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I don't. You know, in some ways, it's always a little shocking when you see people who probably were totally opposed to marijuana for decades, but now all of a sudden they see a chance to jump in and make some money, so they're only too happy to get into the industry. I'm happy to say that Normal has always been a consumer-focused lobby. We represent the interest of responsible marijuana smokers. We don't represent the companies that are getting rich. Now, I don't mean that they're our opponents. They're not at all. But as an industry, they're concerned about making money and surviving in a competitive industry. We want to make sure that the marijuana we get is safe. It's been tested in the laboratory. It's accurately labeled as to the THC and the CBD. There are any number of things that we need to do to protect consumers. And I can assure you the industry is not focused in those areas.
And what do you think about a number of the sports figures who have come out strongly for either the CBD oil or actually smoking it? Is there more and more of these people coming out, you know, famous people?
Yeah, I think there's no substitute for celebrity endorsements in our culture, and that's true for marijuana policy as well as it is for all kinds of other things. There's a reason why major corporations pay a fortune to big-name celebrities, Tiger Woods or someone, to endorse their product. And so the same thing is true about accepting marijuana. Every time a major athlete comes forward and is honest about their marijuana use and how it helped them with their pains and, you know, their conditioning and all of that, it makes it easier for other people to accept marijuana on an honest basis.
Now, in terms of your organization, how many states are you in? Are you in cities? How is the organization set up, and how can people become a member?
Well, the easiest way is if they go to our website. Of course, that's just www.normal.org. Remember, normal's an acronym. It does not have an A in it, norml.org. And you will find there that we have normal, state-level normal groups in all but one or two states. And in fact, in most states, we have several normal groups working in different parts of the state. And they're all mostly volunteer. They're all anxious to have additional public support. They obviously lobby their state legislature. In some states, they work on voter initiatives. But the point is they're all smokers. They're not, again, they're not industry. They're consumer-oriented. So we'd love to have your help. Go to our website, and you'll see who you should be in touch with, depending on where you live.
Well, you know, there was a study also done that I also read a couple of days ago that more and more people are going away from smoking, and they're going more towards edibles and so-called getting high off the edibles. What is your feeling about that?
Well, certainly for a lot of people that use marijuana, for example, for medical purposes, and they may need to use a little bit of it every day, they may well find that using edibles is an easier way. They don't want to take smoke into their lungs, etc. Now, the downside is that edibles take anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half to totally kick in. And frequently, when people, unless people are experienced, the first time or two they do an edible, they get dissatisfied that they don't feel as high as they expected, and so they eat some more of the brownie or whatever they're doing, and before long, they're simply too high to enjoy the experience. You can't hurt yourself overdosing. No one's ever died in the history of mankind, but you can certainly have an unpleasant evening if you eat too much. And also, I like the ability to titrate it as a smoker. When you smoke it, you take one or two hits, and then you lay the joint aside, and in most cases, that's all you need for the next hour or so. But it's almost an immediate titration that you don't have when you're ingesting it.
There you go. Love it.
Well, it's really interesting that you're giving us all this information, mm-hmm. and we really appreciate you being on, Keith. Tell people again where they can get to the website.
Sure. Yep, go to www.normal.org. We're a nonprofit. So again, www.normal.org. The phone number is 202-483-5500. Give us a call.
Thank you.
We'll be glad to plug you into the state folks.
Thank you very much for being on, and we'll have you on again when things get hot somewhere along the line.
There you go.
And Adam,
I look forward to it. Thank you, folks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're welcome. And Adam, I wanted to tell you that next week we're going to be having somebody who's going to be talking about testing. So we'll learn. We're going to learn a lot about testing and why it's really needed.
Gotta love that, Paxton. Thanks again. Great report for Cannabis Healing. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
More to come live, everyone here, Los Angeles. Stay tuned. Living the good life.